Well, friends, here's an old one from many, many years ago, The Game of Life. This belonged to my brother and I. We used to play it a lot, along with our cousins and different friends, whenever we were young, growing up in the 1980s. I think this was a Christmas present, and it's an authentic MB Games Game of Life. And you might notice there a couple of stickers there, the Garbage Pail Kids. They were a big thing back in the day as well, and they're just stuck in the front of the box from all of those years ago. The Game of Life. And the precept behind the game is very simple. You start off, you're young, you go to college or university, you learn a trade, you might get married, you might have children. You make your way around the board, you try to purchase status symbols, you try to accumulate wealth, you try to get promoted at work, you try to make it to the end and maybe have a nice retirement home to live in. And the winner of the game is the person who has accumulated the most wealth or the most status symbols. So whoever designed the Game of Life did it after the pattern that many people espouse whenever they live their lives in this earth, that the accumulation of wealth, the purchase of status symbols, and looking successful in the eyes of the world is really the goal for many people, and what they just look at perhaps as being a game, the game of life. And it may be today that you view life perhaps as a game, and you view successfulness in life as being somebody who has done well, someone who's got plenty of property, plenty of money in the bank, and somebody who's maybe built up a nice business empire and has left a good inheritance behind for their loved ones and for their family. Now, there's nothing wrong, of course, in the Word of God with the pursuit of wealth, and there's nothing wrong with prosperity so long as it's in its right place. But life certainly is not a game. Life is the most serious thing that we can be involved in. We're reminded in the words of the hymn, only one life, 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. And the old Westminster divines, they asked the question in the shorter catechism, what is man's chief end? What is man's primary reason for existing? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. The reality is that God is the giver of life. God is the sustainer of life. God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And yes, we're here in this world to enjoy life and to have a life of fullness, a life of abundance. But we can never really have that outside of God, because in him we live, we move, we have our being. He is the one that created us. He is the one to whom we will give an account. And God is the one who knows best how life works. He also knows that we're broken and we need a saviour, we need a redeemer. And that's why he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But life is also very brief. The book of James asks the question in James chapter 4 and verse number 14. For what is your life? And then the answer is given. It is even as a vapour that appeareth for a short time and then vanisheth away. And life goes by so quickly, and for many of us, we're certainly living in the latter end of life's journey. I'm coming 44 quite soon, and 70 years, and I suppose in that regard I'm well past middle age, and some of you perhaps are living on borrowed time as well. But what is your life? Will you make your life count? Or is life for you just a game, the pursuit of wealth, things that don't really satisfy? Let me read to you some wonderful quotes from great men and women of God from the bygone day and generation. Vance Havner was a famous evangelist in America. He said, life is not measured by length, but by depth. Birthdays tell us how long we have been on the road, not how far we have travelled. Another preacher said, make sure the thing you are living for is worth dying for. Make sure the thing you are living for is worth dying for. Robert Murray McShane, the saintly pastor from St. Peter's in Dundee in Scotland, simply said, live so as to be missed. Live so as to be missed. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, said, let God have your life. He can do more with it than you can. Andrew Murray, the South African holiness preacher, said, life must be filled with life. J.I. Packer said, God alone made life and God alone can tell us its meaning. Blaise Pascal said, between us and heaven or hell, there is only life, which is the frailest thing in the world. And then John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said, O Lord, let me not live to be useless. Well, what about your life? Used to be a game show or a chat show on television. It was called This Is Your Life. And whenever I watched it, it was Michael Parkinson, I think it was, that maybe did it, or some of those guys. And he came in with a big red book, and so many high points in the person's life had been recorded. And he would look back over their life's journey at some of the high points in their life and give them this book, This Is Your Life. Well, there's a day coming, the Bible says, whenever the books shall be opened, and the book of your life will be opened. And I wonder what will be recorded. And then the Lamb's book of life will be opened. And all that matters by and by is whether or not our names are recorded there. The game of life. It's more than just a game, folks. It's the most serious thing in all the world. Christ gave his life for us. Will you give your life to him and live to his glory? God bless you, friends. And we'll see you again, hopefully, very soon. See you next time. Bye-bye.